6913, Connor McGregor.
Here, and throwing it to a passenger window of that bus.
I want to stay humble, but your guys talk too much.
They're not on my level. If you groom me in any way equal to me, I'm going to rip your whole head off.
Irish, only 6 million. Russian, 150 million.
I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody.
I'm coming up for air so I can check myself again and I stand.
This is Outside the Cage with Ike Feldman and Pete Hoffman on CBS Sports Radio.
This is Outside the Cage with your host, Pete Hoffman, Ike Feldman. Check us out at underscore outside the cage. He's at Ike underscore CBS.
He's at the Hoff WFN. Did I get it right? It's been a while.
You did. You nailed it. Just like we're about to nail our predictions for UFC 229.
It's funny, Vegas.
Conor McGregor, Khabib Nurmagomedov. Oh, my goodness. I can't even believe this is happening. For all the casual folks, they're like, is this really that big of a fight? I'm like, you have no idea. This is the biggest fight ever in MMA.
Starting to get approached by casuals now, so maybe it is.
A lot of casuals. And again, for what it's worth, Conor is the biggest name in the sport. So the fact is, of course, whenever he fights, it's going to be the biggest fight ever. But his opponent is what makes it that great of a fight.
It's true, man. I cannot wait for the Eagle, Khabib, Nurmagomedov to get in there, man. We all know about this classic swarm in wrestling and Conor with the precision striking. He just came off the boxing fight. It's going to be an amazing matchup. But, dude, like you just said before we took on the podcast, they got to make weight first.
They got to make weight. There's a lot of things that have to happen. They have to first show up. Don't run into each other. While they're cutting weight,
no
cut
dolly
the weight.
Throwings.
We don't want anything. I would say, you know what? Don't have them run into each other until Friday night when they both officially do the fake, the ceremonial weigh-ins, all that stuff. I don't want anything to happen. If they need to be in two different hotels, that's totally fine with me. Two different cities.
Yeah. Put them in North Nevada, South Nevada. Keep them away from each other. Keep the Russian squad and the Irish squad. It's almost like what they hinted at with this press conference. Conor, he didn't have his fans there. It wasn't like 205 when we were there, man. It was just rocking. The lower level MSG was amazing. Like 5,000 people. Nothing I've ever experienced. Like the Radio City press conference, quiet.
It was
like a journalism hall. It was like a study hall, and I hated study hall. So it was just Conor screaming at Khabib. I hope that this week they do something special with the fans. Get 100, 500, 1,000 fans. So what if the hooligans fight each other?
Bring a proper 12.
Russians?
Yeah, bring a proper 12.
You know there will be proper 12 in Vegas.
Oh, my God, there certainly will be. But here's the thing. Like, you know, from watching it on the TV, it seemed a little bit awkward at moments. With Conor basically yelling at Khabib. Now, the trash talking was still there. The points were still there. But the effectiveness, not sure if it was still there because the crowd was missing. Did you get that same feel live?
Spot on. It was more of like I could study this. I could listen to them. It was nice and easy. There was no adrenaline or emotion. Do those fans, like when they handed us the mic at MSG, you had the fans, don't screw up this question. There was pressure. It was just very calm.
You had five follow-ups. You're like, hey, by the way, Dana. Oh, cool. All right, cool. So, Connor, what about this? You just kept on following up.
Again, the casuals are coming. I had this guy ask me. He's like, man, this Russian dude looks like a bad mofo. I was like, yeah, he is. You should probably tune in for the fight.
You should probably check out all his fights. I mean, seriously, go to the UFC Fight Pass right now and watch every single one of Khabib's fights. They're ridiculous. And watch Connor's fights, too, because you watch, I mean, we'll break down this fight in a little while, but these two are the top of the class of their class at what they do. They do best and better than anybody else, pound for pound in their divisions. No question.
It's true. Every so often we get these. Dude, you say you want to do these fight companions for UFC 1.
Oh, my God.
Kenzo Gracie, Dan Severn, karate guys in their karate outfits.
Oh, my God.
This is the 2018, the new generation of grappler versus striker. Like you said, they do the best they do in each category. Cannot wait for this.
By the way, I'm really desperate about that fight companion for like UFC 1.
Guys, check it out.
It'll happen, and you'll be amazed. If you have not seen the old original UFC fights, the pay-per-views, oh, my God.
Me.
They are, and you'll be surprised with who has, like, guest cameos as far as, like, analysts, play-by-plays. It's bonkers, dude. It's worth the watch.
It's a project right now.
Yes, we're working on it. That'll come along with a bunch of other projects that we have working on right now. And hopefully that they will be hitting the websites very soon. Hopefully they will be creating websites very soon. Oh,
and again, we'll be on live national 200-plus affiliate national radio, CBS Sports Radio Network this Saturday night. It's going to be fantastic.
Yes! Or Sunday morning, depending on where you live.
Yeah, true.
But we're right after the fights are the point of it. Like, we'll be on 12 midnight to 2 a.m., I think, or 3 a.m. Not sure that the exact time, clarification
you
of the time.
You might hear Pete Knight going against John Attic and Joe Rogan on the play-by-play.
Yeah, you never know. We might actually call the fight live, the actual ending of the fight, whether it's a draw, whether it's a knockout, whether it's a submission. We might get that information.
Nobody will be drinking wine or smoking weed. There's no Brian Callen or Eddie Bravo.
Well, you're going to be in Vegas, so that's not going to happen. I mean, I won't be able to smell if you're smoking through the mic. Maybe I can. I don't know.
I'll see if Scott Farrell's free that night.
Okay. Well, Ryder might be down there too. You never know. There's a lot of CBS guys going out there, right? Is Ryder and his crew going, or just Bill himself? Is he selfish like that? Like, Scotty likes to bring his whole crew. That's what Scotty does. He doesn't just go out there and be like, yeah, you know, I just want to celebrate myself. No, he brings his guys.
I don't think the young Stu is coming for Mr. Bill Ryder.
No.
Young Stu is the producer of Bill Ryder, but I will be out there covering it. Pete couldn't make it. He'll be back home in the headquarters for New York. We're going to have, the UFC has promised us, is it multiple fighters? We might get a Sean O'Malley, maybe Anthony Pettis. It's going to be fun. We're going to get live
reaction.
Maybe
Derek Lewis, if he actually throws a punch this time around.
That is true. You could ask him about that. Man, yes. I bet you're not sore from your last fight against Ngannou.
No, you have plenty of rest. I'm surprised you weren't on 228 and 229.
What are we talking about?
Yeah. So let's all right, so... There are plenty of fights. This is not the best shaped out fight card. I'm not going to sit here and lie about it and go, this is incredible. Like, the undercard is whatever, to be honest with you. You don't even, the early prelims, I'm not really excited for. Yeah,
cool.
I mean, you got Ryan LaFlair. He's a local Long Islander.
Yeah.
Gray Maynard's fighting. Kunitskaya, who
making a second fight?
She did. Didn't she fight Cyborg? That was
yeah.
So she's making
quote
a run
fight,
right? Exactly. You know, you do have Sean O'Malley. He's making. He doesn't. He's a young upcomer. He broke his leg fighting Sukmata. Sukmata. You have two Pettises on the card. You have both of them on the card. You have the. You do.
Yeah.
You have the flyweight and you have the featherweight.
I was like, is there a third?
Well, not the featherweight. Sorry, the lightweight. I'm always forgetting about that.
We're calling in the great Scott Farrell. If you haven't heard Scott Farrell joining Opie, it was a great freaking podcast. I just heard that for the first time, the Opie podcast. Dude, that is radio art.
It was pretty dirty. Right?
Dude, it was fantastic.
It was dirty.
It was brutal, but it was honest.
It was cool.
That.
It was like doing my show on Howard again, where I could just be me and be uncensored, unfiltered.
Curses.
There was a lot of cursing in it, but that, you know, when I was there, that's what I did. It was a dirty show.
But you know what? The cool thing is, like, I was a fan of talk radio back then, so
right.
To hear all that, the inside stuff that we didn't know,
the stories.
Was so freaking awesome.
Yeah, there was
really
a lot of there was a lot of ebbs and flows to that relationship. I used to be great friends with them, and then it turned into a war.
Dude, you would have kicked their ass. You saw them in the hall.
Yeah, I confronted him in the hallway at Howard one day. I saw him. He came around the corner by himself, and I'd never seen him by himself before. He was always with his pack of wolves.
Oh, dude, they had a clan.
And they were like, you know, you couldn't get near him, and I didn't care about any of that. I saw him one day by himself, and I was like, let's go. You think you're so tough. Let's do it right now.
You would have kicked both
I was like
asses.
At work, and it was uncomfortable. I think I remember my producers were trying to peel me out of that situation. But, like, at the time, like, so what happened was, I said this on the podcast, was... So when I went to work for Howard, I mean, they hated him more than anyone on the face of the earth, so I immediately became the enemy. But I did some crazy things, too. Like I said, they sucked compared to him.
But don't you have to, though, in that situation?
I still, stand by that comment. I think they're the funniest show I ever heard. I loved it. I thought it was hilarious, and I used to have a blast doing it. But I always, you know, said that no one can touch Howard.
Right.
And, I mean, literally nobody. So it made, you know, they pale in comparison. That's my opinion, but I'm entitled to that. Like, That guy, there is no one, I don't care what you say, the money he's made, the career he's had. I know he's transformed into this, like, Hollywood elite interviewer, like A-list interviewer. But back in the day when he was mean and funny and, yeah, and rude and, like, hurt people's feelings and went after these stars, I thought it was way better. I think now, I mean, he might as well do a late-night talk show with celebrities.
He's got his own entrance now, a bougie entrance.
Listen, I think he's the greatest interviewer ever. Wow. But that's not the, without a doubt. But I think that that's not what people I grew up with or you, we all loved him for when he was mean.
Well, I loved when he was getting all the details from the women. I don't care what it was. Whatever celebrity it was, like, well, tell me about your experiences with this, that, the other
right
thing. And they just go and spew it, and they felt right like whatever. That's what I
it
loved.
It was a trip working for him. And then, you know, but when I worked with them at NEW, which is 102.7, when it was an FM talk station, it was like the greatest experience of my life. Like, it was really funny. Like, I would go.
That was a lineup, dude.
It was a great station. And I did mornings, and then in the afternoon, I would go in there, and I would get hammered. And they would get me drunk, and I would go out and cause trouble in New York for them and like, do live shots from bars. And
I
tried
who
to get a lot of legs. It was basically that. It was, they gave me $100 to try to get drunk and get laid. And I was good at it.
All right, well, let's talk a little MMA real quick. I know you got to go. You're in the middle of your show, Pharrell and the Bents. And also, there's Pharrell and the Bets on the Westwood
One podcast.
I got
a lot of shows now.
Dude, you're killing it.
The betting show's cool. It's every day, 6 days a week. That's not every day. It's 6 days a week. But it's cool. It's like a 30-minute sports betting show. It's on Westwood One. And then Pharrell and the Bench here on the network. But I like,
who you got?
I like Khabib. I do. I think he's I think he hates him dead, and I think he's just licking his chops. I think he's evil. I think he's Drago. I think he's gonna. I agree with. I heard the guy the other day. I don't know who it was. I forget. Said that it was like a heavyweight guy or something. Say or light heavy. Said he was in the second round. He's gonna just snap him in two.
You think he's gonna submit?
I think he's gonna take him down and snap him in two. Wow. And I think he's gonna hurt him. I think he's gonna actually. I think he's going to crush his face in with his elbow, and I think he's going to make him bleed.
Yeah.
I think he's going to hurt him. Wow. I think Connor's the best stand-up fighter I've ever seen, but this guy is a nasty SOB, and I think he's better. I think he's a better fighter. I think he's a better MMA fighter in the octagon on the ground. I don't think he's afraid of him, no. And he's got this look in his eyes like, you're about to get hurt.
Do you feel like Connor didn't shook him? Like, at all with that?
Not at all. That whole act, Stone Pony, I've seen it before. Diaz beat his ass twice, if you ask me, and Mayweather humiliated him. All these idiots, I was there, all these idiots that think he fought Mayweather, he got his ass beat by Mayweather. And if they would have let it keep going, he would have killed him.
Do you think that do you think that Khabib could take a punch, though? That's the question. That's what it comes down to.
Well, that's what it comes down to. And, yes, I do think that guy, like, we all know the stories that he trained with bears and everything else. But if you can train with a bear, you're not afraid of some Irishman with a whiskey bottle.
I'm afraid of you, man. You're ours.
Listen, I'll fight you. I'm willing to fight you. And you're a fighter, so I'm willing to fight you.
Barely.
Set it up. I'll fight you.
And I'm afraid of you on the courts, too, man. This guy's a baller.
Listen, I can't wait for the fight, though. It makes me horny. I am. I'm horny for the fight. I think it's the greatest fight. I can't wait. The UFC, we were just talking about it. The UFC's killing boxing, put HBO out of business.
Yeah.
They give us the fights we want. Boxing doesn't.
There you go. Scott Farrell, everybody. That's
why we love podcasts.
My man.
Amazing. You just heard it. Pharrell on the Bets, Westwood One podcast. Pharrell on the Bench, CBS Sports Radio. Great stuff, man.
Dude, killing
it. I might have to go Khabib with Scotty.
I was going Khabib. He stole my thunder, and I hate using that line, but that's the reality. He took everything I wanted to say because
he's taking everything I'm working for.
but Scott nailed it. 100%. Khabib is the workhorse. He is the disciplinary man. He's the fighter. He is someone who has worked at his skill set for so long. Yeah, we have to question his striking power. That's for sure. But what we do know is he takes every opponent down to the ground and he demolishes them and he makes them look bad. And even though they might go five rounds with him, they really didn't last a good five rounds. They lasted. They survived. But that's about it.
Yeah, I think people are looking at that Ally Aquinta fight too much. He said it to her face. He's like, dude, I watched some boxing fights for this fight, and then I just wanted to try my stand-up for the last two rounds. He was kind of fooling around. maybe he should have picked up Allen, slammed him on his head, finished him, and then went on the mic. But he was learning some skills inside of the cage. He knew that he was facing a not a top 10 opponent in Ally Quinta. Maybe that gave him some confidence. Maybe he's not going to be so scared of Connor on the feet. He should, but right. I don't think that Connor should expect takedowns right away. Habib might be a little loose on the feet, work to get close, and then shoot the takedown. But, dude, Connor, I believe, is counting on a crowd atmosphere in Vegas for a press conference. Other than that, I don't think he has any chance of winning.
No, I think you're right. And I to get back to what you're saying, too, like maybe he was messing around a little bit with Al because maybe the fact was he did know this was coming. They knew this was coming down the line because of what Connor did to stir the pot.
True.
He knew this was going to happen eventually. So let's test out the boxing skills a little bit. Let's do that. But, yeah, Vegas would have to do something crazy. Something would happen. Vegas needs to be crazy to in order for Connor to win over a little edge with the...
He needs that mental edge. Like, do you believe Connor when he says that this is like a revenge fight? It seems like he's doing a ton of research and pulling a ton
of
strings.
Which he's great with the research. He's great with it. He pulls
he's
a lot of stuff.
He's attacking everything. He's attacking Habib's manager. But it's like I don't think it's working.
The thing is that Connor has been surrounded by so many people that tell him he's great.
I know.
And up until, and listen, the fact is he lost to Mayweather, and whether he lost to Diaz twice is up for grabs. He definitely lost to him
that
once.
That means Scotty lost money on this.
He definitely lost to him once, though, and that's something that can't be denied, but he did come back, and he did, quote-unquote, win the second fight, and he did make Eddie Alvarez look really bad. No one remember, and he made Jose Aldo engage him so quickly in a fight where he got knocked out in 13 seconds. That doesn't happen in every fight. Doesn't happen in every fight where it's like, oh, well, there's a knockout in 15 seconds. No. People usually fill each other out a little bit, especially for these title fights. That doesn't happen. So Connor had to get under his skin, and the perfect storm, can he get under Habib's skin? I don't know.
I'll argue because that fight was delayed, because there was a ton of time for Connor to get under Jose's skin, that when the fight actually started, Jose was already like, he was already defeated when it started. I don't think Connor shook. You know, Habib has Daniel Cormier, Luke Rockhold, yeah. Javier Mendez. He's got a ton of fighters in his corner.
He thanked Cody
gym.
Garbrandt the other day for some reason. I don't know why.
I saw that. Yeah, that was weird. That's maybe he's training boxing with him. Who knows? But Habib has a ton of people on his side, and he has a ton of motivation. This simple quote, I haven't tweeted it, who is fatter? And I mean, like, mentally. Who, like, has it made already for them? I feel that Connor, deep down, might not be striving for everything that he wanted for that Jose fight.
Right.
That maybe that he was a little fat for the Nick Diaz, the first fight, and he was very cocky. He's like, I could take it at any weight. I could take it short notice, and he lost. He came back motivated.
Yeah.
For this, I'm getting that same sense. Dude, he came across on that press conference like a businessman.
Yeah.
I heard Proper 12 more than I heard Habib's name.
He saw the betting line.
Yeah, true. Proper 12's going to be on the mat. Maybe he's trying to sell himself to bet on himself. That would be legendary. But we don't know until we know in MMA because there is no math leading up to this. If Connor does this, like, he's setting the bar even higher for MMA history. If Habib humbles Connor, I have absolutely no problem with that.
Not at all. And Connor will still be relevant. And he, you know, did he lose a belt? No, he still hasn't defended a belt either. So what the hell does that even mean? He'll still be on fantastic cards. He'll still be the main event, main attraction in UFC.
Diaz might always be there.
Yeah, well, listen, he still is going to be out, quote unquote, six fights he's supposed to be signed on for. But he is the name in UFC right now. And he's the draw. And anything else, he could lose and it doesn't make a difference. Habib can only go up from here. That's what it comes down to.
I feel there's so much on the line for Habib that he could gain. If he goes 27-0, if he gets everything that Connor's working for and he just takes it, if all of a sudden he has the two belts or the undisputed belt and he's the new champion going into that ESPN wave, Habib has Russia behind him, the UFC behind him, and his record behind him. Connor, I think he's a little unmotivated. Of course, money always helps.
Money helps. If he loses,
that edge.
If he loses, that will definitely be a motivator too, I think. I don't want to say he needs to be the undefeated because he's lost already a couple times. But he likes to prove people wrong, and that's the other thing too. MMA, it's proven. How do you perform after your last loss? A lot of these guys come back better. And Conor, his last loss was in a boxing match. So I don't know what to expect. I really don't know what to expect.
Nobody does, man. It's honestly like the picks, anything you hear, it's like it's very convincing. The last thing I want to say, let's do another podcast. We'll talk about the undercard.
Yeah.
The last thing I want to say, there was a gut check moment in that Conor Diaz 2 fight in that fourth round when he came out swinging.
Yeah.
That's the way the documentary started. Like, he was about to lose everything. He could have lost two in a row in that third round when Diaz was flourishing him.
Yeah.
Is there going to be a gut check moment here in the third or fourth round when Conor's on the ground and he stands back up and then he drops Habib? This is what makes the real champions. We will find out.
So, it's all about how... My big issue with the Nate Diaz fight still is the fact that Nate Diaz didn't really have to cut weight. He was still walking around a heavier guy. Conor has to gain weight to get to 170.
Okay.
So the first fight in particular, he realized he couldn't knock him out, but it was too late when he figured that part out. able to adjust that mentality on the second fight and said, I can knock him down, I can't knock him out. Does he think that he can knock out Habib at 155? That is the true question. He might personally think that I can knock this guy out whenever I want. At 155, I can knock this guy out. I can because I'm that big for 155. If he thinks that and he can't do it, that is the issue.
So we got a lot of questions. We got a lot of issues. Can this guy adjust? Can that guy adjust? Man, honestly, we don't have any idea. I think all three of us, you, me, and Scotty, are going Habib for now.
I'm sticking Habib right now, and there's nothing really. It's going to be a lot to change my mind. I'd have to see Conor and Michael Johnson punching power side by side. And if Michael Johnson landed a flush shot on Habib, shook him, but didn't knock him out, what is Conor's power like? If Conor can get that same flush shot, what type of damage will that do to Conor?
And we only see one fight at 55. So many unfigured out factors, man. So many variables.
UFC 229 coming up Saturday, October 6th. We will be live post-fight, 12-2 on the East Coast, 9-11 on the West Coast, CBS Sports Radio Network. He is Ike Feldman at Ike_CBS.
He is at the Hall of WFN. At the Hall of WFN. Nothing but the best. I was already jumping to your fantasy team name.
To be too. It's been nothing but garbage lately. And again, @_OutsideTheCage to follow us with all the tweets. Thank you very much for following us. We're looking forward to the fights. We're looking forward to your reaction, too. So make sure you listen up to our post-fight and call in 855-212-4CBS. We're looking forward to some huge things on the horizon for us as well. And follow us for more information.
Yeah, buddy.